exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
RGK Custom Flooring in Eaton salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comforts of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into the search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from RGK Custom Flooring in Eaton. Give Kurt a call at 970-539-6113, reminding everyone that we live in the land of the free, thanks to the brave.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Barry Shamish. And Barry, of course, as you know, is a Jewish patriot who had worked in Israel as an investigative reporter for about 30 years. He uncovered, of course, the fact that Rabin, the premier, prime minister of Israel, was assassinated as an inside job by people who worked for the government. And he, of course, touched on a number of other very sensitive situations and corruption at the highest level of the Israeli government, until finally there was an attempt on his life and he was forced to flee to the United States, where he keeps us now abreast of what's going on in Israel, because Israel is really the key to so much of what's going on in the Near East and the Middle East. So without further ado, let's get to Barry Shamish this morning. Good morning, Barry. How are you?
I'm fine.
Well, what are we going to talk about this morning?
Well, you know what we're going to talk about.
Oh, I know about, but you have to tell the listeners, because they don't know what I know.
Well, first of all, I wrote an article that's getting lots of play now. Even in the mainstream media, this article is being quoted. And it's, well, I call it the legal raping of President Moshe Katsav. If you didn't know, and a lot of people do know this because it did make the media in America, Israel's president, past president, Israel's current president, of course, Shimon Peres, he took over the job when Moshe Katsav resigned, and under suspicion of rape. Well, he had a trial and he got convicted of rape. Israel's president is found guilty of rape. Now, all the commentaries in the media, and again, the mainstream media, and pretty well everywhere, was that the conviction of Katsav was a victory for Israeli justice. I went and looked. You go online, you find the court notes, what the court actually decided and how. I went and read it. I'll tell you what's missing from Katsav's trial. Remember, rape, I mean, he'll spend the rest of his days in jail. It's not a light charge, rape. Now, here is what he went through, and what's missing is what isn't in his trial. There were no rape kits. There's no semen or DNA proof. There were no professionals, you know, like doctors and police sex crimes experts and so forth. No experts testifying. There were no rape victims testifying in open court. The prosecution witnesses testified in closed court, but were not identified. And we'll talk about that shortly. When you put a person on trial for rape, you identify yourself. It's known to be a very traumatic process, but, you know, the person who's convicted is going to spend the next 20 years in jail. You have to identify yourself anywhere in the world, by the way. Well, the Israeli court decided to hide their identities. That already is incredibly suspicious. But in the trial itself, there was no physical evidence produce, you know, Katsav's hair on her dress, a string of his clothing, a thread of his clothing, anything physical. There was nothing, nothing. Not a physical piece of evidence against Katsav. Now, this also astounded me. There was no lie detector test of Katsav. Now, this is used by the police everywhere. It's not necessarily, it doesn't decide verdicts. We understand there can be errors. Nonetheless, it's done. Katsav was not asked to take a lie detector test, and the only reason in a rape case that I can figure this out is that the police thought he'd pass. Otherwise, it would have been standard. Oh, excuse me. But it only gets worse. Now, here is the key. No victim went to the police after being raped. There were 7 complaints against him. No one went to the police after being raped. The police opened the investigation years after the alleged crimes allegedly took place. Now, look, this trial broke all the rules. That's putting it mildly. What it came down to was a he-against-she trial. The only thing that convicted Katsav, and I mean the only thing, there was no other evidence against him, were the claims of the prosecution's victims. The witnesses spoke against Katsav. That's the only thing the judge based the trial on. The problem is you start looking at what the witnesses said. And, I mean, their stories are beyond just full of holes. You've got the main victim claims to have been raped in Katsav's office, but having apparently enjoyed the experience, I guess, she was raped in his hotel room long after the first rape. We can ask a million questions why a rape victim would come back for a second time. The story doesn't make sense. Now, look, it doesn't matter what your point of view about the man was. Katsav is not a praiseworthy man, but he didn't have a trial. This was not a fair trial. You don't put a person on trial for rape years after the rapes took place without any physical evidence.
Well, why aren't you entitled to a jury trial in Israel? Or
no, there's no jury
decision.
There's no juries there.
There's no juries. Okay.
No, that's the Israeli justice system is not based on juries. It's
all right.
Based on judges. There were 3 judges, and they just took the witnesses' testimony, as screwy as it was, to be the truth, and Katsav was found guilty. That's all that happened there.
Well, my understanding is that Katsav was offered, if you just resign the presidency, we'll charge you with something minor, and that'll be the end of it, and he refused to do that. We'll be back in just a moment here with Barry Shamet.
Starline Christian School, in operation since 1980 and state-licensed, is a well-rounded educational opportunity for your children. Family-centered with Bible time, structured, and social academic programs. Starline is located at 2418 19th Avenue in Greeley, Colorado. Close to Centennial Park, UNC, the hospital, Greeley Mall, and 2 blocks from Jackson Elementary. Transportation is also available to the following schools: University, Montfort, Meeker, Krista McCullough AM Kindergarten Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, and Frontier in Chapelo. Hours of operation are Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. for children 2.5 to 12 years old. Morning preschool, 8:30 to 12:30, including lunch, or 8:30 to 11:30 with no lunch. Full care child care before and after school programs. Call for more information, 970-353-7541. That's 970-353-7541. Shalom. This is Pastor Michael Golden of the Voice of Many Waters Congregation, personally inviting you to join me for a series exploring your God-given spiritual gifts and utilizing them biblically to build Yahweh's kingdom. Starting January the 8th at 1 p.m., we will look through the lens of Torah and address questions like, how do I know what my gifts really are? What's my purpose in using the spiritual gifts? Can my spiritual gifts be blocked for some reason? What does Torah have to do with them? Or how do I know the difference between truth and error, or the office and the gift, and much more? This series includes an extensive personal spiritual gift profile and how to understand who God has called you to be through your gifts in a safe, orderly, and biblically based environment. This exciting series begins January the 8th, 2011. So please join us and call now for details and registration. Contact the Voice of Many Waters congregation. Call 303-522-3562 or 303-257-7576. A love offering will be collected.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this morning, Barry Shamish, he's telling the story of the president of Israel, who was offered, if you'll just go quietly, you can be no major charges, you just resign from the presidency. Why? Because Shimon Peres wanted to be the president of Israel. He wanted position of power. He had held it in the past. He certainly had benefited from the death of Rabin. In fact, he's one of the major villains in this story. I would just simply quickly mention that here in the United States, we had something very similar. Vice President Spiro Agnew under Nixon, they wanted to get rid of him. They went to people he knew. They said, you testify against Agnew or we'll send you to prison. Now, we've got this on you. And so these people contrived all sorts of testimony against Spiro Agnew. They went to Agnew and they said, you leave the vice presidency or we'll charge both you and your wife and send you to prison. Go quietly. There'll be no charges or else. And Spiro Agnew wrote a book by that title, Go Quietly or Else. Go Quietly or Else. You can read it. Of course, the whole idea was to get Nelson Rockefeller into the vice presidency. And then, of course, something would happen to Richard Nixon, and Nelson Rockefeller had become the president. Richard Nixon didn't go along with it, and you know what happened to Richard Nixon, of course. Gerald Ford was smart enough when he became president. Why, he appointed Nelson Rockefeller as vice president, and then Gerald Ford survived the assassination attempt that came shortly thereafter. Do these things really happen in the world? Of course they happen. Well, let's get back to Israel, because, of course, here you've got the president of Israel, and they give him an offer. You know, you go quietly, we'll give you some minor charges, or plead guilty, and it'll be all right, or of course, and he wouldn't do it. Now, you would have thought that he would have realized that the court system there was corrupt. Why didn't he just simply go quietly like Spiro Agnew did?
Again, you're right about all your details. Actually, Ford was, there were attempts on his life twice in a three-week period by Squeaky and Sarah, Squeaky Fromm and Sarah Jane Moore, both of whom wanted him dead because of his policy towards trees. That was their motive. He didn't like his policy towards trees. Now, these were obvious brainwashed. The odds of having such a stupid motive, and the first one missed, the backup was supposed to do the job, and she also missed, and they both blamed Ford for his maltreatment of vegetation. Look, it goes on in the States the same way. In Israel, actually, this was one of the less violent Paris coups. Look, the fact of the matter is, yes, Katsav was offered a way out, basically resign the presidency and you won't go to jail, which was the reason for this trial. Katsav said no. He'd rather exonerate himself in open court than confessed to a sexual crime. And I want you to know that is not the thinking of a guilty man. You don't put yourself through this unless you are convinced you're being railroaded. But nonetheless, the second part of all this is the background, and here's where you'll get lost. But I only report the news. I don't make it. Look, Kassav was the second Israeli president in a row to resign in scandal. In case you've forgotten, Ezra Weitzman was forced to resign for taking bribes from a Swiss millionaire, Edward Seroussi. Now, note, the bribes were real. He was greedy, built himself a mansion with the bribes, opened a pro-peace party, quit the Likud, opened a peace party with Seroussi's money. It was all true and ugly crimes, but not many people knew Seroussi. The one who did was Shimon Peres, who also worked with Edward Seroussi. Well, back then I said, as soon as this scandal broke up, I said Peres is going to be running for president, and of course I was right about that. Now, where I got it wrong, his opponent was Moshe Katsav of the Likud. And nobody gave him a chance. For one thing, he's quite a schlemiel. And for another thing, he was young. A president is supposed to be old and wise, and back then he was in his 40s. Or 50. A little too young. Just a little too young to be president, no matter what. The fact is it was a secret vote in the Knesset, something that is very unusual. And in a secret vote, Peres' allies in the Labor Party, a third of them voted against him. They weren't afraid of retribution, and they knew stuff. They voted against him, and Kassav trounced Peres in the vote, and he became president of Israel. And he, of course, was the next president to go down in scandal because Peres was humiliated. And when he's humiliated, he seeks vengeance. Now, this is going to get tricky. Peres didn't quite give up. In the year 2005, he ran to be leader of the Labor Party. And again, he was the old man with the most dirty ties and the greatest threat of bribery and threat of violence, and we assumed he'd win. He's been doing it for long enough. But lo and behold, his own party rejected him. And the winner was Amir Peres. He became the head of the Labor Party. And again, Peres never forgave Peres either. But Peres had to have a high position, and we'll get to why. He is not calling his own shots. Let's just say this. Let's look at when President Kassav and Amir Peres went down in tandem. The first day of the Lebanon War of 06, a disaster of a war, the worst war, other than the Yom Kippur War, maybe, that Israel was so thoroughly humiliated in, because Peres wouldn't send in the infantry, which doomed the war. From day one, without the infantry doing a pincer movement and putting an end to Hezbollah, the rockets would keep flying into Israel, and no air force can stop it. So on day one of the war, what was the headline? It was not that war broke out, it's that Moshe Katsav is being investigated by the police unofficially for rape. That was the first day of the 06 war. Those were the headlines. The top headlines was Moshe Katsav and rape. Now, for the next 33 days, Amir Peres took over the headlines for the unspeakably poorly planned war. And I'm not going to dive into how the chief of staff was working hand-in-hand with Paris to keep the infantry out of the war, prevent any chance of victory. I wonder who Kalutz was taking his orders from. But that's a separate topic. The point is the war ended after 34 days. And on that day, August 25th, 06, the police opened an official inquiry into the alleged sexual crimes of Moshe Katsav. On that day, Katsav's fate was doomed, and on that day, Peretz's fate was doomed, because Israel agreed to ceasefire talks in Rome, which led to an 85% Catholic European force called UNIFIL separating Israel from Hezbollah, and he was as good as gone. Both of them were as good as gone. Now, look, I'm not going to dive into why that war went so badly, but there were other things in the background why it should have gone so badly, and Peretz's vengeance on Katsav and Peretz, I believe, was behind that horrific war that's going to lead to a much more serious rocket attack in the near future. But more to the point, Katsav visited the Pope in 2002, the first Israeli president to do so, and again in 2005. The Vatican wanted sovereignty over all the Christian sites in Israel. This was promised to them by Shimon Peres. And Peres leaned on Katsav to accept the Vatican's point of view that they should be a sovereign power within Israel. Katsav wouldn't do it. And that I think, was why the plot was hatched against him, because as soon as Peres took the presidency from Katsav, as soon as he got in power, I'm going to read you the headline from Haaretz, or at least a line or two. President Shimon Peres is urging the government to yield control of key Christian holy sites to the Vatican, a position that the government opposes. Amongst the sites that Israel surrendered total control of were the Church of the Annunciation in Nazareth, the Coenaculum where the Last Supper was, traditionally where it was. In fact, the building is 500 years older than the Last Supper. Nonetheless, they wanted parts of Mount Zion in Jerusalem. They wanted the Gethsemane, which is also in Jerusalem. He wanted all of Mount Tabor, which is not a small mountain. He wanted a church on the shores of the Galilee. And this is sovereign Vatican territory if Peres got his way. In fact, he offered 34 sites that the Vatican take over. Now, this is, I've been stressing this for the longest time. Peres is a spy for the Vatican. If you don't play ball with Peres, which again means playing ball with the Vatican, you're in big, big trouble. Now, what I'm going to do, well, look, I just think Peres should be the next president to resign in crime and humiliation and shame. It's his turn now. So far, he's literally gotten away with mass murder. And he can't be stopped for some reason. But we've got evidence that is way better than the evidence that convicted Katsav. Way better. Let's look at just a few of his deeds and the victims. During the 1950s, Peres was the director of the Israeli Atomic Energy Commission. They cut a deal with the U.S. What it involved was that Peres initially offered Yemenite children later, there's something called the Ringworm Children, which, again, it was Paris using American Army X-ray machines to put massive doses of gamma rays through the brains of all Sephardic children. Now, I want you to know that I know much more. Again, the Yemenite children, I was chosen by the martyr on behalf of the parents of Yemenite children. 4,500 Yemenite children were kidnapped in Israel during the 50s. A few were adopted, but the rest just disappeared into thin air. Oops, I hear the music. I'll continue with this show.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment. The two steps of children, the ringworm children, the Yemenite children. Mary will tell you the story when we get back.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
U.S. Cash Flows reminds listeners, the men and women of our military dedicate themselves to serving our country. Their commitment, patriotism, sacrifice, and courage keep our country safe and strong. Let us honor those who have lost their lives in the line of duty and salute those who serve today. A smile and a handshake, or even sending a care package overseas, it's the least we can do for those who have done so much for us. This reminder from U.S. Cash Flows in Fort Collins. Call 970-484-6523.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Starline Christian School, in operation since 1980 and state-licensed, is a well-rounded educational opportunity for your children. Family-centered with Bible time, structured, and social academic programs. Starline is located at 2418 19th Avenue in Greeley, Colorado. Close to Centennial Park, UNC, the hospital, Greeley Mall, and two blocks from Jackson Elementary. Transportation is also available to the following schools: University, Montfort, Meeker, Krista McCullough, AM Kindergarten Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, and Frontier and Chapelo. Hours of operation are Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. for children 2.5 to 12 years old. Morning preschool, 8:30 to 12:30, including lunch, or 8:30 to 11:30 with no lunch. Full care child care before and after school programs. Call for more information, 970-353-7541. That's 970-353-7541.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Barry Shamish, and he's talking about two groups of children. It's a little confusing. One is the Yemenite children, about 4,500 of them. The other are the ringworm children, and they were Sephardic children who were used for an experiment, simply radiating their heads and putting radiation into their brains, supposedly because they had ringworm, and this is how they were going to treat ringworm. These were, both groups were used for medical experimentation. Go right ahead with the story, Barry.
Yeah, well, the Yemenite children, I got to the top of the organization. The leader, this was after Rabin, and the leader, who was Rabbi Uzi Meshulam, invited me to be the spokesman for the group. I met Meshulam in prison. Meshulam came out of prison after 8 years a zombie. He hasn't uttered a word. He lays on his couch with motionless. They took care of him really, really, really well. But they were also so infiltrated. There was a family, the Schiff family. They were running the show, appearing to be historians who were sympathetic and squealing and putting these guys in prison and murdering them. I had never seen such large forces as when the Yemenites would hold a rally. And Meshulam was the reason they came. 1,000 might show up in Jerusalem. Well, of course, I was there, and there would be 3,000 police and forces and armored stuff, real riot gear against Jews.
But these were children who were kidnapped by the government. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's correct.
That's so important people understand. These children were kidnapped, and the parents were lied to, and then they found out what had really happened, and they were furious. And wouldn't you be furious if you found your child had been kidnapped and then taken to another country?
They didn't know any of that. Now, look, when I spoke with Rabbi Meshulam in the bowels of Sharon prison, I just said to him, let's put an end to the charade and just reunite the biological parents with their children. And he turned the music up really high. We were being recorded. He knew what he was doing. And I just said, why don't you do it? He said, again, he's wooing me to be their spokesman. He said, because I'm waiting for the parents to die before I tell the whole story. He said they don't realize their children were not put up for adoption. A very few lucky Yemenite children were adopted. He said the majority were murdered in atomic experiments. And quite frankly, I thought he was a nut when he said that. 94, he said to me. I thought he was a first-class fruitcake. And then he explained rationally enough that there were experiments in the United States. In the late 40s, he said, people, scientists really didn't understand the effects of nuclear radiation. In fact, the hydrogen bomb hadn't even been tested yet. He said what they did, the Americans had to know what the effects were for their studies, so they would take, prisoners. They would take anyone they could get and do what's done to the Yemenite children. Watch them die slowly of massive radiation poisoning. But this was discovered in Georgia and Texas, and the programs were shut down. And he said, the real problem is that the people think that Shakal, he was the police minister, is their enemy. He said their real enemy was Shimon Peres. He was the director of the Atomic Energy Commission who negotiated a ghastly deal where Israel supplied the guinea pigs and Americans supply Israel with atomic knowledge. And that was about the story he told me. Now, I didn't believe it for a little while. And I would write that here is what Rabbi Meshulam told me without advocating it in any sense. And then, I think it was in 97, when a movie was shown at the Haifa Film Festival. It was called The Ringworm Children. And it won the festival. It won first prize. What it claimed, and again, I spoke to the director, and he knew my work on Rabin, and we had a good rapport. What it did was show a crime so ghastly and so unspeakable that when it was finally shown on Israeli TV, yes, they showed it one night, the announcers were speechless. What happened from the early 50s to the late 50s was that every Sephardic child in Israel, the total number, I believe, is 114,000, were subjected to massive, their brains were blasted with gamma rays, an entire generation of children. This was a crime beyond belief, and the paper trail has all been burnt up, and much has been done to protect Peres over this. He's the last living ruler of the early 50s, and he's now president of Israel. In fact, he murdered a singer named Ofra Kaza because she put money into a movie exposing the disappearance of the Yemenite children. She was, of course, Yemenite and had family members who were amongst the Yemenite children. Peres knew no bounds, not trickery. The deaths were usually so dramatic and unreal that it shifted blame completely from Peres. The fact is that 4,500 Yemenite children are dead because of Peres. 6,500 Sephardic children died after the experiments within a year or two. A whole generation has got terrible genetic defects. It carries on one generation to the next. They learn that from these experiments. And this is all Shimon Peres. And a lot of the witnesses at a high level have simply been killed. But there are vast numbers of people who know about the ringworm children, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out who was in charge of the atomic energy in Israel during the 50s. We could get Peres on that. But it goes on. The easy stuff I'm talking about now. In the year 2002, really the leader of the Israeli right, that is Rechavam Ze'evi, told Sharon, who was the prime minister at the time, that he would resign if Sharon didn't get Peres out of the government. He gave Sharon an ultimatum. Get rid of Peres, or I go to the Knesset and I expose him and I don't leave alone. Two other parties are going to follow me.
Hold that thought, but that's a dangerous thing to come out against Peres publicly. You'll find out what happened to this gentleman shortly.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Basic Energy Services in Greeley reminds us no one anywhere is more noble, righteous, selfless, or courageous than our United States Armed Forces. These brave men and women and their families foot the bill for our freedom every day. Send a military care package today to let them know that they are now and always in our thoughts and prayers. This message from Basic Energy Services in Greeley. Proud to salute all the past and present members of our military services.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest is morning, Barry Shamish. And before we go on with the story of what happened to this gentleman who was going to expose Perez or threatening to expose Perez before the Knesset, Barry, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your books, how they can get your DVDs, and how they can get your PayPal button.
Sure. The books, you go to lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. When you get there, you'll see a search engine right in my name, Shamish. And that'll get you to my books. Downloading them is like $5. More sent to your house, but within minutes you can have them downloaded and be reading them. My website is barrychamish.com, and at the end of the main page there is a PayPal button. Every contribution is welcome, let me tell you. But more to the point, I will give a thank you gift to anyone who does contribute and who wants it. Now let's get back to the story about Ze'evi. Ze'evi was murdered 3 hours before he was going to resign and expose Paris. I won't go into the murder. It was also blatant. He was lured up to the 8th floor of his hotel, which was filled with Israeli security usually. They all left, and somehow three Arabs managed to murder Ze'evi and get away with the murder, and so on and so forth. Now look, I'm just going to give you a few words of his speech that he was going to give to the Knesset. What is understood in Washington and not understood here, Prime Minister Sharon, who himself fought for many years against Arab terrorism, is not strong or consistent enough in his fight during his tenure as Prime Minister. In order to keep Shimon Peres and the national unity governed, he gives in to Peres' dictates and allows him to continue talking with the top brass of the evil Palestinian Authority, which is a terrorist headquarters in every sense, and on and on and on. All the stuff we knew about Peres, he was going to present to the nation. Unfortunately for him, 3 hours before his speech, he was shot dead. Now, as for Paris, the Sharon murder, he's gotten away with that for the longest time. And it was such a blatant murder. And
now, Sharon is not dead. He's just a vegetable. Isn't that right?
Well, he's brain dead.
Right.
Look, the M.O. has Paris written all over it. He has a private meeting with Sharon in the Knesset. This was on December 18, 2005. They share tea. Half hour later, Sharon has a stroke and is taken to the hospital by his bodyguard, Yoram Rubin, the same guard who shot Yitzhak Rabin. It was just such an obvious taking out of Sharon. But I'm going to give the reason why Sharon was taken out. Let's do it. President Kitsav did fly to the Vatican, but Sharon said no to handing over Christian holy sites in Israel. He told them no. Now, here's from my correspondent, my informant, really. Finally, they knew Sharon had to go. Enter the apostolic nuncio Pietro Sambi. He plotted with Paris to finish Sharon off and possibly supplied the poison Sharon drank, and, of course, in the meeting of December 18th. One thing is certain. 18 hours before, after 8.5 years in Jerusalem, Sambi flew out for a new assignment in Washington. Look, it goes on. But the reason Sharon was taken out, and there's been much speculation about this, by the way, apparently is because he said no to the Vatican. I'm not going to go into the grand deed. Let's leave it at that.
All right.
That Sharon turned Perez down, did not give the Vatican sovereignty all over Israel, told Katsav not to offer it to them, and, well, they're both alive, but they may as well be dead. Sharon is in a coma, still alive, and Katsav will be in prison probably for the rest of his life. That's what you get when you cross Paris.
Well, it's a tragic story, but unfortunately, there is evil and wickedness in the world, and it's tragically, most people really don't believe this sort of thing really goes on, but it does. But anyway, your story about Kassav has got quite a play over there in Israel.
Yes, it's all over the place. Even Don Wiedemann from this radio station, I haven't heard from him, for a long, long time. He wrote me back because of this this article. It's moving faster than anything I've written in a while.
Well, I'm glad you're getting play on it. I think it's important that we've got somebody out there who challenges these stories and tries to look at the story behind the story. The true news behind the news, which is what you do, which is why, of course, you were forced to leave Israel, but at least you're here and getting the information out. Oh, we've got about a minute for you to wrap up the program this morning.
Well, we can't, so I'm just going to give my website out again. In a minute, you can't do much more than that. www.barrychamish, that's BARRYCHAMISH. .com. Go to the article section. If you're diligent, you can find this information. But if you really want it at your fingertips, go to lulu.com, lulu.com. Write in my name, CHAMISH, and find the book that appeals to you most.
Okay, Barry, God bless. We'll talk to you hopefully next week. Thanks for everything you're doing, and just keep safe.
Will do.
God bless. Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the story of Barry Shamish. You can find information on the Yemeni children, on the ringworm children, up on the Internet. Go to your search engine. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they really did kill 4,500 Yemeni children. They were brought to America for experiment.
Shalom. This is Pastor Michael Golden of the Voice of Many Waters Congregation, personally inviting you to join me for a series exploring your God-given spiritual gifts and utilizing them biblically to build Yahweh's kingdom. Starting January the 8th at 1 p.m., we will look through the lens of Torah and address questions like, how do I know what my gifts really are? What's my purpose in using the spiritual gifts? Can my spiritual gifts be blocked for some reason? What does Torah have to do with them? Or how do I know the difference between truth and error, or the office and the gift, and much more? This series includes an extensive personal spiritual gift profile and how to understand who God has called you to be through your gifts in a safe, orderly, and biblically based environment. This exciting series begins January the 8th, 2011. So please join us and call now for details and registration. Contact the Voice of Many Waters congregation. Call 303-522-3562 or 303-257-7576. A love offering will be collected.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stock, certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin. vice president for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, I hope you enjoyed Barry Shamish. And you know the stories he tells about him in killing 4,500 children, Yemeni children brought to America for experiments. There's other evidence of this sort of thing. The Plutonium Files is a book. It's about how they were feeding plutonium to mentally defective children and orphans here in the United States. Just experimenting. They were just experiments to find out how much it would take to kill them. You never hear about this thing. Oh, this sort of thing couldn't happen in America. We have a great four-tape set. It's called the Tuskegee Study. It's about a study that went on for 40 years to kill black men. About 400 black men were recruited with syphilis. And, of course, the whole idea was to keep them from getting treated. And, of course, by 1940, we had penicillin. We could have stopped their disease. They didn't want to stop it. They wanted to kill them. U.S. Public Health Service at work, CDC at work. But doctors all across America knew about it. But it was just an experiment. It was in the name of science. And they killed most of them because they wanted to autopsy them. And nobody was ever held responsible. We've got a great four-tape set. If you don't know the study, the story of Tuskegee, we have it recorded for history. Give us a call if you'd like the four-tape set on the Tuskegee study, 1-800-544-8927. We interviewed some of the key people who studied this whole issue. You need to hear it. We have an issue. An interview with the man who broke the story and finally got it out. Totally suppressed, and yet he eventually was able to get the New York Times to carry the story. And when his story broke, people were incensed. You're not supposed to be killing black people in America. This was 1971 when the story finally came out. And most of these stories you'll never hear. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to really understand what's going on. You need to get our four tape set on O.J. Simpson, because they put an innocent man in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Of course, who did commit it? Well, that's another story altogether. But certainly, if you haven't heard my interview with Mr. Deere, who spent a decade researching the story, we have in a separate tapes. You can order those tapes on O.J. Simpson. But we know that this was a setup from the very beginning, because Time magazine, which is published to control your reality, immediately after Nicole Simpson is killed, why, they show a picture of O.J. Simpson on the front page of Time magazine with his skin very black. But O.J. Simpson's skin wasn't very black. He was a very light-skinned black man. So why did they want to portray his skin black? It was all about race, ladies and gentlemen, creating hatred between black and white with perhaps some good justification on the part of the blacks, because today, young black men between 21 and 31, 1 in 3 are in prison, probation, or parole. There is an intense hatred of blacks by the people within the Brotherhood. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, the four-tape set on O.J. Simpson, the four-tape set on Tuskegee. History you'll never see recorded. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know about the Nazi collaborators who killed 2 million Jews in Belarusia, and then of course were allowed to come and live out their life in New Jersey in reward for their fine work, why, the book America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, who held the highest security clearances available, 3 levels above top secret. His book, American Nazi Secret, so much available from Radio Liberty. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. Of course, send you a catalog if you'd like, and then help us get the truth out. So until tomorrow at the same time.
May the Lord do.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
I'm Tom Phillips, owner of The Green Herb and our new company, Next Level Formulations. Next Level has formulated a new energy product called Warhead. Warhead will give you up to 8 hours of energy on 1 66-cent capsule. And unlike energy drinks, Warhead contains no sugar or artificial sweeteners. Listen.
Every morning, I would drag around the house to get my housework done. But now, thanks to Warhead, my housework is usually done by noon.
I use Warhead as a pre-workout energy booster, and my workouts have never been this good. Thank you, Warhead.
I take Warhead before I go to lunch. My afternoon productivity is far better than ever.
I've reached a point in my life where my energy is low. But with the Warhead capsule, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. Call 800-910-0200, and I'll send you a free sample of Warhead. That's 800-910-0200. Call today. This is a limited-time offer.